I was pulled over. Ultimately, I was charged with a criminal traffic violation of reckless driving. So here I am, 18 years old, high school senior, my whole world and future ahead of me, and I just got popped.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managed Partners Podcast. This is Kevin Daisy, and today I have a new friend that I met down in Phoenix, Arizona. I was there for the Great Legal Marketing Summit that's put on by Ben and Brian Glass. If you're not familiar, I would definitely check them out, but they've been helping law firms grow and be successful for many, many years. Great event, but check out GLM. They have a mastermind and offer a lot of different things to help your business. But I met Daniel and we went out to dinner and, was in a lot of the learning sessions, same as he was. And just a great event and great content all around. But but had a good time meeting Daniel and having some good food. And definitely want to have him on the show to talk about his unique story. And Daniel, has a criminal defense firm down in Florida, kind of near Miami. Is it Coral Gables, I think, Daniel?
Yes, Coral Gables, which is just another one of the 60 some odd cities and municipalities within the greater Miami area. Coral Gables happens to be right smack in the middle for the most part.
That's right. So, there's a lot going on around Miami. So, you got to be specific. But Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me. I had a lot of my friends on the show, so I'm excited we got to connect in Phoenix, and I'm really looking forward to doing this.
Hey, I appreciate it. It's such a cool community of attorneys. A lot of times, people that like friends, they're like, "Hey, talk to attorneys all day? Man, that sounds too good at all."
Some of us are all right, man. Some
Some
of
of
us
you
are
guys are all
okay.
right, So no, I've met so many great people, and attorneys. Every attorney I know, they're there to help people, and they're passionate, they care. And so, and they usually have a story that, aligns with where they're at, like why they became an attorney. And that's very common. The attorneys had a past or a background or something that kind of led them to wanting to be an attorney. So I want to kind of, dive into that. And, you have a unique story, and Daniel is, how he uses that, and it's part of him, his brand, his marketing, and how you can do that. Everyone's got a unique story, and you need to bring that forward and be yourself. So Daniel, let's kick that off and tell us your story, and we'll just kind of riff from there.
Awesome. Thanks again, Kevin, for having me. So, really, law school for me, once I realized that the childhood dream was over and I wasn't going to be on a baseball card, so the only thing left was to never have to cut my own grass. Those were two big things. When I got a little bit older, I realized I want to be on my own baseball card and I never want to have to cut my own grass. Well, the baseball card, we just fell short. The grass thing, we're doing good. But, being an attorney was always one of those things that I felt like I was destined to do or was inevitable for me to do. I was born in Miami, first generation American, Cuban immigrant family. Obviously, most people are familiar with the story there of the government and what went down. And, I was just brought up in an environment to kind of be conscientious of what's right and wrong and government overreach and powers and all these things, right? So I always felt like being an attorney was just where I was going to end up. That was step one. Step two, obviously, I always wanted to be in court. Something about criminal defense just really, really spoke to me. And then when I was a senior in high school, I was set to attend Florida State University the next year. I was running late for class, and I was probably driving in ways that I shouldn't have been driving that morning on my way to school. And lo and behold, I was pulled over. Ultimately, I was charged with a criminal traffic violation of reckless driving. So here I am, 18 years old, high school senior, my whole world and future ahead of me. And I just got popped with a misdemeanor. I was charged with a crime. Thankfully, the officer didn't put handcuffs on me and haul me off to jail that morning. So I did the walk of shame into homeroom with my ticket and the teacher let me in. You know, she didn't even make me get a late pass, and she'll remain nameless to protect her. But I, you know, from there, I had no idea what to expect, right? Here you go. You're charged with a crime, kid. You have a mandatory court appearance. Something will come in the mail. And, you know, we go down to like the neighborhood attorney that had done a bunch of tickets for my grandfather, and he hires him to represent me on this criminal traffic violation. And I mean, here I am, right? I don't know anything except I'm charged with a crime and I can face jail time. And really what I'm concerned about is my future, first and foremost. Like, did everything I just do go down the drain? Is FSU going to rescind my admission? I mean, what the hell is going to happen? We pay this lawyer a bunch of money. This was, you know, 25 years ago. And I show up to court and the guy's not there. They call my case. I walk up to the podium by myself. I get the offer from the prosecutor by myself. And I say, well, I'm supposed to have a lawyer. I don't know where they are. So they said, all right, have a seat. We'll pass it. And I don't know how much time goes by, but some guy walks in, starts calling the gallery like, Izquierdo. I'm like, hey, it's me right here. And the guy says, hey, I'm here. I'm your lawyer. I'm thinking, well, you're not the guy we hired, but I don't know any better. And I said, they already called my case. They gave me an offer. He goes, well, what do you want to do? And that this was probably my reaction, but 10 times worse. And I said, well, I don't know. You know, what can we do? Maybe I would like to do less traffic school. He's like, all right, that's what, you know. And I mean, within 5 minutes, I was out of there. Something on my record. Thankfully, it wasn't a formal conviction. You know, I had to pay a ton of fines, do all these, you know, conditions. And
insurance probably went up.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, do you even pay for those things yourself? You know, I mean, thankfully, you know, I went to school, went on with my life, and eventually, you know, after coaching high school baseball, teaching English for a few years, I found my way in law school. And I launched my practice from the get-go upon graduation. And I kind of knew this is what I was meant to do within the legal space. I was going to stand up for those that were being prosecuted by the government, people that had the most to lose, their liberty, their reputations, their futures, their families. And just curiosity, I go to the courthouse and I pull my case. And I became so upset, knowing now what I didn't know then. It was such a beatable case. But it what really stuck to me, or stuck out to me, is not so much the result, Kevin. It was the way that I was treated by that attorney. And I kind of vowed to never treat one of our clients that way. I don't want one of our clients feeling like their life is in shambles. Their life might be crumbling before their very eyes. They part with their hard-earned money. They put their trust in someone, and then they are made to feel like they are, I mean, quite frankly, on that proverbial island by themselves.
Not knowing what's going to happen.
So that's really kind of what drives my approach to how I want to run the firm. And it's, look, there's a lot of good criminal defense attorneys, especially in Miami, but that's just one piece of the puzzle, because at the end of the day, they're hiring you to get them that result. And there's a certain level of service and deliverable and connection, which that's how you separate yourself. And thankfully I had that experience, because now it allows us to approach the practice of law and delivering this service in a completely different way. And I don't hide the fact that I've truly been in their shoes. It was embarrassing at the time. And a lot of times clients come to us and say, you know, I'm embarrassed. I was made to feel like a criminal. Like, what's my family going to think? And I say, whoa, listen, like, anybody could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Anybody can make a mistake. Anybody, you know, law enforcement can overreach, misinterpret something. This doesn't mean you're a bad person. This just means you're in a bad situation. And I've been in your shoes. So there's no need to feel that way. let's see how we can get you, you know, to the other side of this. And I have never been afraid to use that in my, you know, in any kind of marketing and communicating with clients, because at the end of the day, you have to connect with them. You have to build a relationship. I mean, they've put their life in your hands, and, you know, going to court and doing the work is just one part of it. And as long as you're qualified, I think that is probably the least of it. Because when they hire you, that's, let's be honest, they're hiring you for the result. It's the experience and all the other stuff that is secondary. And apparently, I guess life wanted me to double down on this story, because at the end of 2017, a month after my first child was born, I find out that one of my immediate family members, somebody very, very close to me, was under federal investigation and ultimately was charged with a federal crime and served time in federal prison. This is something that, for one reason or another, is just kind of entrenched in my story. I've experienced the criminal justice system, thankfully, for something just serious enough to get my attention, but not serious enough to, you know, to really derail much in my life. And like I said, you know, life's a funny thing and karma's a bitch. And here, let's double down. And now you're going to basically watch an immediate family member get charged with a federal crime, go to federal prison. So really, I've kind of dealt with this system from all angles. I've been a defendant. I'm a criminal defense attorney. And I've been, you know, a close relative of somebody that went through the system. And now I'm the one, you know, figuring out visitation, how to send money to this person. I mean, it's wild. I could have never imagined this weird, interesting twist of fate. But I feel that it kind of makes me better for it. It makes me a better lawyer. It makes me a better leader. And I don't shy away from it. I tell clients all the time, this isn't just some BS spiel. This isn't some pitch. Like, I have truly been in your shoes, not just because I've been doing this for 57 years professionally. No, I've actually experienced it. And I guess the real lesson there, right, the purpose of our conversation is, you know, we hear it all the time. If you've read a business book, if you've gone to a conference, if you consume any kind of content, people buy from people. People are buying your story. They're not buying where I went to law school or how many years I've been doing this. They're buying
super lawyer badge.
Yeah, you're right. Like the ratings badge, like distinguished lawyers. Like I don't know that they even look through that, right? Like the amount of stress they're under when they're searching for a lawyer is just out of this world, insane. And they're just, you know, they're firing up Google. They're asking for recommendations. They're verifying you. And I don't know that they're really I don't know that they're really doing the deep dive. I think at the end of the day, I have a problem. Do I think this person can solve my problem? And I think you need to be able to connect with them, because at the end of the day, they're buying from people. They're buying the story. And, you know, I love obviously getting great results. I love the 5-star Google reviews from clients. But if I really had to pick one thing, it's when a client says, you know, you were so approachable. You were so relatable. I feel like I connected with you immediately. You got me, because I know that that's genuine, because you can't fake that. And I think that just comes from my story and being an open book with them and really letting them know they're in the right place. Like, we know exactly what you're going through and we got you.
Well, some of the ways Daniel's done that well too is if you go to his website, he's got photos of him and his team. He's got video all over the place. So video of him talking about his story and building that connection. And so, you know, if you have a good story, but you can't find it or they can't hear you or see you speaking it, then it makes it hard for them to connect with you with a website that's just text or no imagery or no video. Social media is important for that reason too. If people can see you, connect with you, see who you are. You guys have done a good job of making that connection with the things that you put out there.
Well, and we're going to make you even more proud, Kevin, because we're working on something which really just dives completely into the story, into our unique selling proposition, if you want to call it that, and it will be even more prominently displayed. So stay tuned. Pukey Radio Tees there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You have to please hit me up once you have that ready. So yeah, but yeah, everyone listening, like, you know, yeah, what sets you apart, you know? And I think, well, it's you. It's right. It's your brand. It's your personal story. It's you as an attorney, right? And if you're an attorney inside a huge firm, you know, I've met plenty of attorneys that have their own brand and social media, and they drive their own clients as a non-owner, right? They're just their own brand. So every attorney in your firm should be allowed to, you know, bring out their own story and their self. But if you're the owner, of course, you know, that's what you have to stand on. I mean, same with me. Like, hey, Kevin, you're a marketing company. There's like 1,000 other ones. Like, what's different? And at the end of the day, it's like, we kind of offer the same things for the most part. I'm the difference, right? It's me. It's, you want to work with me and my team, we do things differently. But that's what you got to lean into, right? Doing business with someone that you want to do business with. So same thing with y'all, you know?
We encourage our team to have their own personal service brands. You know, marketing will collaborate with them. We'll tag them. We have them shoot videos and answer different questions. You know, and I'm not the only one with this story, and it's not my story to tell for others. But we do have team members that have also had these experiences in one way or another, and I think it's awesome, you know, to kind of see everybody's buy-in on the team, not just the owner, right? Because, I mean, you know this, Kevin, right? As the owner, sometimes it's hard to get everybody on board. It's hard to get everybody seeing your vision and your purpose and treating it like more than just a job. But I think it's pretty cool.
That's when you have a good culture, right?
Right.
It's just, it goes throughout the whole firm. And that right there, and it's probably cliche to say, but like that culture will shine through, and when someone calls or talks to anyone else at the firm, like, they're going to see and feel the difference that everyone there cares about their job. Mm-hmm. They don't think of it as a job, and right, that means they're going to take care of the clients. And as a client, that's all you really want. You know what I mean? You want to be informed, taken care of. Of course, yeah, you want the result at the end of the day, but all those things are important. And then that's, you know, going to guarantee referrals and a lifelong customer if you can do those things right. So
yeah, it's we're in a funny place, you know, and not to get too philosophical, but you know, this is something I think Ben has always said, and it's, you know, they're not comparing you to other law firms because they've never really, most of them haven't done business with another law firm.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, you know, they're comparing us to Amazon and, you know, Domino's with the tracker and like anybody, Uber, right? Anybody they do business with, that's kind of who they're comparing you to. And yes, granted, right, like the doctor's office, you have an 8 o'clock appointment, so do 47 other people, and you're, you know, waiting an hour and a half and you're going to six different rooms, and like, that's maddening to me.
Yes.
So the doctors, I think, help us a little bit, right? They give us a little bit of a buffer. But it's so true. And I think too many lawyers have this misconception or preconceived notion, right, of the past of, you know, make them wait. So, you know, they think you're busy and you can't get to me, and like this weird voodoo thing. And at the end of the day, yeah, at the end of the day, man, you got to adapt, you know, and okay, we're a law firm, but who says we can't do X, Y, and Z? You know, who says we can't have a drink menu in the waiting room? You know, who says we can't put their name on the, you know, in the conference room when they come in? Like, there's no rule, right? Like, I guess another Ben thing, like, who wrote that rule? and that's,
I love that. I hadn't heard Ben say that, but you're in his group, but absolutely love what you just said, which is 100% true. Think about it. Anyone listening, like, if you go get an Uber right now, you get the app, it quickly finds someone. It tells you when they're going to be there. It tells you next step every along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very seamless, fast process. And we're used to that. Amazon Prime, right. Order something, it could be here today or tomorrow. And so why wouldn't you expect, especially if you've never hired a lawyer, that it would be, I know what's going on the whole time. Everything is seamless. There's no confusion. And I'm going to go all the way to hopefully my result. But that's far from what normally is going to be happening at most law firms. Today's episode is brought to you by Answering Legal. Now I just switched my company, Array Digital, over to Answering Legal, and it's made my life a whole lot easier. If I can't get to the phone, their 24/7 virtual receptionists take the call and take them through a full intake process, so we never miss new business again. Now, Answering Legal has been at this for more than a decade, and they specialize in answering phone calls for law firms like yours. They even have a brand new, easy-to-use app, and they integrate with all the top legal softwares and platforms. So, for my listeners today, we actually have a special deal of a 400-minute free trial offer of Answering Legal services that you can try out by going to answeringlegal.com/array. You can also call 631-437-4803 and use special code DAISY. That's my last name, DAISEY. So go check them out and let's get back to the show.
Yeah, you're going to hire the lawyer. You're going to pay them, you know, in most cases, right? Obviously, PI, and there's some areas they're not coming out of pocket. But, and then the reality is not a whole lot happens those first few weeks.
While you're freaking out.
And we know that, right? We know that, but you don't if you just hired us. So, and even if we tell you in the consult, let's be honest, 90% of what gets said in that consult room is in one ear, not the other. It just, I've seen that time and again. So, you know, I mean, imagine, put yourself in their shoes, right? They just handed you all this money and nothing's really going on for a week or two, depending on when they hire you. And it, you know, and buyer's remorse starts to set in, right? The frantic calls like, hey, I haven't heard anything. And that's something that we are really, really working on right now at our firm. And it's just perfecting this whole client experience. And it's something I've always wanted to implement because of my story, because of how I felt during my experience, you know, from being in rooms with people a lot smarter and a lot more successful than me. And, you know, as we've grown in the last about two years, it's now necessary, right? Like it's not just Danny the lawyer, Danny the firm owner, Danny the everything.
Yeah.
Right? I have a team. I have other lawyers. So that's been really, really tricky to navigate. And it's something that we're constantly trying to refine because I'm still the one doing most of the sales or strategy sessions. I'm the one, you know, on 90% of the marketing videos and materials. And, you know, how do we avoid any awkwardness, buyer's remorse, the process being disjointed, everything you were saying about Uber, right?
Yeah.
I called one yesterday, looking for your driver. Oh, you've been matched. Here's your new best friend in a white RAV4. Oh, look, they're 3 minutes away. Here they come around the block, right? So that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to, the moment they hire us, they're getting something that's going to tell them, hey, you know, welcome to our family. Here's your, you know, we're a team. We work together. Here's your lead attorney. Here's your lead legal assistant. Here's where you go for billing questions. Here's what you do when you need to set an appointment. Here's what to do when there's an emergency. Here's what to do, you know, like these things, you know, and then, you know, that we're kind of still finalizing that process, right? But get something to them. Call them. Hey, I'm going to schedule like a deep dive with your assigned lead attorney, right? Like we're trying to figure out how to better serve people, right? And we're still getting great results. We're still getting all of the Google reviews, but you know,
that front end stuff's important.
You can always be better, right? If, I mean, obviously I, having, you know, grown up playing baseball, coach baseball, I mean, what are you doing to get better? What did you do to get better? I hate uncertainty, but I think I hate the status quo even more.
Well, I mean, yeah, it should be a constant work in progress. Yeah, mm-hmm. For me as a marketing agency, say if you're a new client, I sign you on, it's the same problem that most law firms would have. Like, all right, I just signed up with your agency, Kevin. Like, when's your first touch point? When's the first meeting? Do you know what the timelines are? Like, we're constantly working on that. And every time I think we got it pretty good, we'll miss something or something didn't work right. And we'll go, oh, crap. You know, that client was a little bit different and why, and they needed this. And do we change our process or do we not change it? It's just a constant, you know, how do we improve? You know, how do people want the information? You know, and we send out a text instead of emails, you know, so it exists in my business too. It's not the same as, hey, I might go to jail type of situation, but super important. But yeah, buyer's remorse, all those things are going through their head. And they're also possibly looking for things to get upset about, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like 100%. They're telling themselves, all right, I just spent all this money. Did I make a good decision or not? Oh, let me look and see. Are they going to screw up? I'm going to be watching them like a hawk, you know? So.
Yeah, I don't think it's different in any business, right? Like, okay, so, you know, if you're interacting with my business, you might go to prison. But, you know, somebody that's interacting with your business or hiring you, you know, might need to really right the ship, or five people are going to get laid off.
They could go out of business because they hired the wrong agency.
Right, so... So, yeah, I mean, they're losing sleep for different reasons, but I mean, right, if you're solving a problem and regardless, right, like 30,000 feet off of the outside, you're like, well, I mean, going to prison is a lot worse than having to lay somebody off. But to the person in that given situation, they're both dire. They're both apocalyptic, right? Like it doesn't. And I think us, you know, like the business owners, the problem solvers, need to really, you know, be at a level that nobody else is at.
Well, and yeah, just think of the Uber situation too. It's like, I was just in San Diego for a conference, and for whatever reason, someone told me this, that it's like in California, like I couldn't pre-book an Uber for the night before. Mm-hmm. I had to go to the airport. So you wake up at 5 a.m. and you're like, oh, I got to get an Uber and hopefully show up on time. But, you know, in that moment, it's like, if they don't show up on time, or no one's available, I miss my flight. So in that moment, it is dire, right? Do you feel like it's, you know, you're scrambling, but Uber comes through, right? You know, they have it down. So, you know, you kind of feel confident that, hey, when I use them again, I'm confident they're gonna come through for right. me.
And and you would tell your buddies.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, I use this great thing. Download this app, you know, right?
Well, bonus story here for everybody. And Daniel is when I was about, I guess, yeah, 17, 18, I got a reckless driving.
Okay. In Virginia, right? Was it in Virginia?
It was in Virginia.
That's serious stuff there.
I was in high school going very, very fast on a place of 25 miles an hour where I'm from, small town. And my grandfather is the one that showed up to take me to my court case. And I was almost more scared that my grandfather was going to be there than anything they could do to me.
Yep.
He's a pretty stern kind of, you know, guy. And he actually represented me. Like, I didn't have a lawyer. But if you knew my grandfather,
yeah,
he could just talk and people are kind of, you know, back up a little bit. But so, yeah, I was there in court with my grandfather. He represented me and we talked it through. And I got reduced down to speeding and I had to take, yeah, some courses and some other stuff and do some community service, actually. But yeah, so, but I understand exactly where you were because I was like, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. And then again, my family, everyone knew my grandfather was going to go take me. And the ride to the court is like 45 minutes from where I've, so just that, you know, drive with my grandfather, like, oh shit, you know.
Yeah.
But I had no clue what was going to happen. No idea. I just submitted to college as well. And that was all kind of like, you know, is that all gone? I had the same exact kind of feel.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, listen, man, a good grandfather is invaluable.
Absolutely.
I was insanely close with mine, you know, just baseball, life lessons, the whole thing, right? And then the good with the bad, you know, the reckless driving experience was a little bit of a wake up call.
Yeah, it's still deep in my mind, and it's again, to someone today, maybe, like, if you're older, mm-hmm. you get a reckless and you're like, you know, sucks. But when you're young like that and you just have no clue mm-hmm. what's going on, you know, it was.
Yeah, I mean, and look, and I think now, right, like, we're handling homicide cases and, you know, capital sexual battery, and I mean, all this stuff. And it's, you got to remind yourself when somebody comes through the door with driving while license suspended, reckless driving, in the grand scheme of things, right, in the criminal justice system, it's nothing. But it's definitely something to that person, you know, as both people on this call right now can attest.
100%.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. But that's cool. I mean, thank you for sharing. I mean, I'm not glad that happened to you, but, you know, except you don't have a story about how some lawyer mishandled, you know, because that would be a hell of a lesson for your audience to.
Absolutely.
Kind of pressure. Of why we do what we do and why we need to be committed to it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, I don't know what could have happened. I think, you know, the main thing for me was there was an officer on that scene that wanted to, like, you know, cuff me and take me in. And mm-hmm. luckily I had a family, you know, a relationship. My dad knew the other cop that was there was like, no, we're not doing this. Like, we know the mm-hmm. kid probably, you know, won't do this again. So there was some of that on my side, but the other officer was like ready to just, you know, go, you know, do the worst, basically.
Right.
And so, you know, you just never know what mood that officer might be in, or, you know, who they might think you might be. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I was berated when that guy got to my window. I mean, it's a miracle that guy didn't haul me off. I mean, it was early in the morning and my back window was fogged up. So I'm running late. I got to get to school and I couldn't see behind me.
No.
So that was really the gist of the interaction and where the frustration came from on his part, because he got to the window and it was, what the F is your problem? And I go, I'm sorry. And he goes, you would think if there's an officer behind you, you would at least try to follow the law or something like that. And then I remember I kind of catch my back windshield through my rear view mirror and I see that it's off. I was like, I'm sorry.
You want to piss a cop off, right?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to say there? And, you know, and I've always, even back then, I kind of knew I should shut my mouth and how important it was not to talk. So I didn't, I was like, okay, like, what are we doing? License, right? Yep, sure. Here, boom. Like, I'm not talking, you know? There's another lesson, you know.
All right, good. We're teaching lessons here on the podcast to all you lawyers listening. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel, I mean, I appreciate your story and, you know, sharing today. I think the big lesson obviously is, well, two things. One, bring your story forward, lean into it. People do business with who they like and trust. And as a lawyer, their trust level is really low, especially if they've ever hired one. So you mm-hmm. need to be authentic. You need to be yourself. And you're not going to attract everyone, but that's fine. You're going to attract the clients that want to work with you, and they're probably going to be your best clients. And then the other, which we touched on, is that client experience is huge. Like, they don't know what's going on. They're scared. And so if you're just silent for a week or two, they're building up tons of worry and frustration that you're not even aware of. Like, it's going to be happening for sure. So you got to get ahead of that, have a great intake process, follow-up process, talk to your clients, you know, or even if you automate something that say, hey, here's where we are, here's what you can expect, here's how long you're going to have to wait, at least to kind of put them at ease for the meantime. So tell your story, make it part of your marketing, and always be working on that client experience piece of it. So, Daniel, I appreciate what's the best way for attorneys, especially those that need a referral partner down in your area, to reach out and connect with you?
IZlegal.com is our website. You can look us up. It's Gyarados Law Firm. on Google. If you know, somebody's in a pinch, a client, a family member, call. Our phones are answered 24/7. We have a QR code for referral partners and referring attorneys. I can provide it to you, Kevin, if you'd like, if you can find a way to.
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll have it posted here, everyone, below in LinkedIn on the comments. And if not, you can also reach out to me and I'll connect you with his firm. I love your domain, by the way, IZ Legal. Nice and short.
Thank you. Well, when your last name's Izquierdo, you got to figure some out. So,
yeah, I'm glad you didn't do Izquierdo, .com because that.
Yeah, no. Nobody's finding that. So, yeah, izlegal.com on the website. Look us up on Google, call us directly. Like I said, we'll give Kevin the QR code. If you're a referring attorney, you can also submit a form there. At izlegal on Instagram, we have a pretty nice presence. And then at Danny the Lawyer on TikTok and at Danny the Lawyer with an underscore in there somewhere on Instagram. That's a new account that we're trying to build up.
So if you want to see his dance moves, go to the TikTok.
Yeah. 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 Definitely start with the TikTok. And that'll take you wherever you need to go.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your story. And hopefully some other lawyers can take some of this and use it with what they're doing. But as always, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. If you would like to be on the show and have a good story to tell, please reach out. I'm always looking for great guests and build this community up and share and learn myself. I think that's the cool thing is I get to learn along with you all as well. And just a pretty cool thing I get to do. So everyone have a great day. Danny, thank you so much for
Thank you, Kevin.
Me. You and stick on with me for a few and we'll talk backstage. Everyone have an awesome day. We'll see you soon.